I feel sure that Cowper knew what he was talking about, what he was writing about when he wrote this hymn. I feel like that every one of those who have been exercised by the grace of our God know also. And I've been thinking a little bit this morning concerning the evidences that we have, that is, the children of God have, of God's grace and God's mercy, and the reason for the hope of eternal life that is implanted in our hearts. We sometimes are made glad when time comes to come to go to a meeting, and while we may be reasonably sure there won't be a few there, but if the Lord is in the place, it doesn't take just one or two. For it said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So Cowper said, far from the world, O Lord, I flee, from strife, from tumult far, from scenes where Satan wages still his most successful war. The calm retreat, the silent shade, with prayer and praise agree, and seen by thy sweet bounty made for those who follow thee. Isn't it wonderful to be able to meet together in peace, love, fellowship, and to leave behind, as it were, the strife, the turmoils, and all the things with which we are bothered during our pilgrimage here, and when we are of necessity, of course, in contact with the things of the world. But when the Lord is pleased to bring us together, gives us an urgent desire sometimes to meet with the brethren and the sisters and the friends, where that the one all-consuming topic is Jesus and Him crucified, and the hope that the Lord through His Spirit implants in our hearts, that even we, such as each one of us would say, even such as I am, that He should so lead me about, show me what is in the world, and lead me to see what is in the Spirit of our God. And we desire, above everything else in this world, to meet with those who are of like precious faith, and to leave behind for a little while at least those things which are outside. So when we begin to ponder in our hearts the reason why we love these things, I usually remember that Peter said to the brethren in writing to them, he said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh thee the reason of the hope that lies within you with fear and trembling. I've often, of late, these few months, mentioned this almost continuously wherever I go, quoting a part of the scripture, says, who maketh thee to differ one from another? What hast thou that thou hast not received? And that is enough when we're confronted with that very thought, to realize that we are different from what we were, to realize that we are made different from what many, so many of our friends and acquaintances in this life are, so that there is an entirely different viewpoint of life and of death, and that hope of eternal life that the Lord has given us. I turn to a portion of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and shall read that, and if the Lord is pleased to give me some liberty on it, I'd like to talk about it. And I hope that he will give us an impression in our hearts and cause us to rejoice and to review the evidences and the causes of our hope of eternal life. In this 11th chapter of Hebrews, you remember that he's talking about, from the very beginning, faith. Faith. Talking about the faith that Abel had, Enoch had, Noah, Abraham, and all those old brethren back in that habit, the things that were accomplished through faith that they had given them by this grace of our God. And the very first verse in the 11th chapter says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I want to say that the scriptures is the only authentic account of the creation of the heaven and the earth and the fullness thereof. Of course, these things took place so many, many years before we had any natural understanding of them. And yet through that God-given faith, he says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. When those people, the scientists and others of like education or feelings or belief, they began to talk about the earth, it just grew from a little nothing, spontaneous, along with the mankind. I am glad that they have the right to their own opinion of those things. But somehow, by faith, the children of God understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Isn't it wonderful that we can have an assurance that God did create the heavens and the earth in spite of all the things that men contend for, in their unbelief, of course, that these things in the world were just something that spontaneously sprang up. They have no answer for it. They can give no reason for it, only to say that that's what they believe. But now the faith of God's elect does more than that for the children of God, because they believe implicitly that God created the heavens and the earth. Moses said, you know, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and all the things, he doesn't give all of this right there, but I add to that, and all the things therein, because he did create the heavens and the earth, and he formed man of the dust of the ground. He peopled, as we would call all the animals, and all those things, he put them here in the world. This came from the sovereign God, and he had a sovereign purpose in the creation of the heaven and the earth. And while not many could believe or do believe this, it was, in my understanding and my belief, it was for the purpose of making manifest in this world, this natural world, this natural creation, making manifest his people that he had loved before he created the heavens and the earth. But he had a people that he was beloved before the world began. And he, as one of the writers said, he blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he chose us in him before the world began. Now the creation of the heaven and the earth and all of these things work together to accomplish the eternal will and the purpose of our God. And it has not gone astray. Everything is on schedule time. Causes and effects are in the hands of God, so that all things are running smoothly to accomplish the eternal will and purpose of God. Now may we look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, Thou who art the giver of every good and perfect gift, who gives us life, who brings us here into this world as children of Adam, after the ordinary generations. But Thou hast done more, much more, for Thy people, because Thou hast chosen Thy people out of the world, out of this natural Adam family, and provided in Thine infinite wisdom and power and glory for their redemption from all their sins and their iniquities, which they fell heir to as the offspring of Adam and Eve. Thou hast loved Thy people with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness Thou dost call them out of the world and reveal to them something at least of Thy grace and Thy mercy and Thy long-suffering and Thy purpose in sending Thy Son into this world, because Thou hadst a definite purpose, a specific purpose in sending Him here into this world. It was, as we are told, and as we humbly feel that we have felt in our hearts, it was for the purpose of redeeming Thy people from all their sins and their iniquities. We realize, O Lord, that strange things, strange so far as the world is concerned, strange so far as nature is concerned, strange things have taken place in our hearts over the years, which have made us to hate the things of this worldly life. All the pleasures that men revel in, but they have become as nothing to us, because Thou hast given us a peace and a joy, and none other except those who are blessed to Thy Spirit know and understand. We come therefore this morning, O Lord, desiring to give Thee thanks, praise, exalt, and lift up Thy name above every name that has ever been named. And Thou hast bowed the heavens, as it were, and come down to poor sinners, unworthy of Thy notice, because we are sinners, we've sinned against Thee. But Thou hast loved us, and while we've searched our hearts often, trying to find out the manner of love, the depth of Thy love that Thou shouldst have for poor sinners, so that Thou wast pleased to give Thine only begotten Son as the only way that Thy people should be justified from all their sins and all their iniquities. The only way that Thy people could be given the evidences of mercy and grace. The only way, by the sending forth of Thy Spirit into their hearts and bringing and causing them to hate, as it were, even their own flesh, and love the peaceful assemblies of Thy people, when Thou art pleased to be in Thy midst and enable them through Thy Spirit to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. O Lord, how gracious Thou hast been. Thou hast not only brought us into this world through the ordinary generations of Adam, but thou hast provided for us everything we've ever needed, so that our lives are preserved even until this day. And they shall be preserved as long as it is thy will in each and every case for each and every person. Oh Lord, thou knowest that were it not for thy grace and thy mercy, we would have no hope, because we have been condemned, brought forth into condemnation, when we were shown the enormity of our sins against the Holy God, and strive as we could and undertook to do. We could not satisfy, not satisfy our God, nor even satisfy ourselves, because it seemed that the more we struggled, the more we tried, the further away we got, the worse we got. Now, O Lord, thou hast brought us to love the truth. And if we love the truth shall make us free from the entanglements of the doctrines of the world, the doctrines of men, because we know that salvation, redemption, is not by the works of the flesh, but is according to that eternal promise that thou made before the world began, and the choice that thou hast made of thy people. And we thank thee, therefore, O Lord, as best poor sinners can thank thee, that thou hast condescended into our hearts. As thou hast brought a few of us together this morning, O Lord, wilt thou pour out thy Spirit in our hearts, that we might for a little while forget trials and turmoil and troubles of this life, and have the holy assurance that our God yet lives, and he yet reigning and ruling in heaven, the armies of heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth. The Lord, thou knowest all things, and nothing hid from thee. Thou knowest of the wars and the rumors of wars, trials, tribulations among nations, of the disturbances that we have in our own country. But Lord, they're not strange things to thee. And we're glad that thou hast made us to know that thou art supreme in all thy ways, and that thou art yet controlling and ruling, so that when it is thy time, because it must be and shall be in thine own time, and all things shall be righted according to thy will and purpose. But, O Lord, if we are called upon in thine infinite wisdom to go through terrible things in this life, we pray thee for grace to help us in this world. We pray thee for faith, O Lord, of which thou art the author and the finisher, that we might calmly, as it were, sit still and stand still and see thy salvation. Lord, remember us in mercy. We're so helpless. We're so dependent upon thy will and purpose, because we realize that thou art the giver of all things, naturally and spiritually. And if thou art pleased to withhold just one or two seasons, then many suffer for the lack of food. So we realize that our food that we have comes from thy gracious hand. We realize more than all of this that hope that thou hast implanted in our heart comes from thee. So Lord, as we live from day to day, wilt thou speak in our hearts and give us patience, that we might run the race that is set before each one of us. In our own race, according to thy will, Father, give us patience that we might run the race with patience, lest to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Remember each one of us here this morning, Father, we're all helpless creatures, dependent creatures upon thy mercy and thy grace. And we would pray, according to thy will, for our country, our nation and the heads of our government. Lead them, O Lord, as it seems right in thy sight, so that if it could be thy will and is thy will, peace might be restored, so that men shall be glad and rejoice. O give us, Father, of thy grace in me, we might realize and remember that it is because of thee that we are what we are. Because of thy grace and thy mercy that we have what we have. So remember us, Father. We, most of us, are getting older, getting our heads, as it were, ripening for the grave. But wilt thou, Lord, give us patience to run this race, so that as we approach the time which some of us will not be too far off, but we're in thy hands. We're in good hands. We're in the hands of the supreme God and maker and the creator of all things, who has promised us eternal life by revealing to us that Jesus, thy Son, is our Savior. And keep us, Father, every day and every hour, and that hour that we shall lie down in death, and wilt thou be with us then. Open up, as it were, O Lord, that we might look beyond this life and that trying hour and be glad that the world is not our home, but thou hast prepared heaven and immortal glory for thy people, who shall in the resurrection be conformed to the image, perfect image of Jesus, and thus be fitted for heaven and immortal glory. Lord, remember us in mercy. May thy name have all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Now and evermore, we beg for Jesus' sake. Amen. I do not want to read all of this, of course, many chapters, so much in it. I trust that we are somewhat familiar with it, because it is a wonderful outpouring of the Spirit of God through the Apostle in writing it. And I want to go down to the 8th verse of this 11th chapter and read 4 or 5 verses or more. It said, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, springing there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having received them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have
But now they desire a better country, that is, in heaven. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them the city. And I bade Abraham, when he retired, offered up Isaac, and when, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. How long it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called.
This, of course, is so much in that. But my thought, I'd like to be very brief about it. My thought is that while we appreciate, of course, the mercies of God in bringing us here in this land, but he's also given us to know that in deed and in truth this world isn't our home. That we, together with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all those brethren, are seeking a city whose maker and builder is God. And that city we have never seen, but we have felt sometimes by the revelation of God's grace and mercy. We've sometimes felt the peace, a little of that peace, which shall abound to all the household of faith when all of these things have been accomplished according to the will and the purpose of our God. You know, Peter, in writing to the brethren, he called them strangers, the strangers scattered throughout the world, and those provinces that were then known, Asia, Bithynia, Cappadocia, all of those places. But he also said they were elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Yes, elect. Meaning that though they were strangers in the world, yet he had the assurance, and he gives the brethren the assurance, that God had loved them before the world began, that he'd chosen them. That is, he had elected them, as the scripture says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of spirit and so forth. And so, my brethren, we have far much more awaiting us than we've ever received at the hand of God in this world. We know that this world is not home, but according to the eternal will and the purpose and the promise of God, he has prepared a habitation for his people. Yes. You remember that Paul wrote, he said, after we were believed, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. So we have very much to live for, brethren, in this world, as long as it is God's will to keep us here. And of course we know, when the time comes, in the case of each one of us, that we shall depart this world and leave it far behind, then we are still in the hands of this God, our God. He's given us so many wonderful and glorious things that our flesh can't understand. I believe, and so do you believe, and the scriptures abound with the fact that there shall be the resurrection of the dead. Not merely resurrection from the dead, but the resurrection of the dead. And Paul makes it very clear in the 15th chapter of Corinthians, that as we have borne the image of the earthly, which image we bear now, the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now we bear about in our body, my brethren and friends, in this nature of ours, that which the Lord is pleased to give us to rejoice in, which is a hope of eternal life. We bear about here in this life full of troubles and sorrows, and yet, on top of all of that, and in spite of all of that, we have that assurance that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And my friends and brethren, if we had never received in the language of the apostles or in the spirit of the experiences of God's people, if we never received a promise that though we live and must die, we shall live again, I think that we would be, of all men, as the apostles said, we would be, if in this life only we had hope, would be of all men most miserable. And surely we would be. I've often wondered how the people live, and knowing that death is just a short distance away, how they can live and have no hope, no evidence of God's mercy, only trusting in their own works to justify themselves in the sight of God, and feeling that they can go in that day and claim, "Thou hast spoken in our cities," as the Bible said, "we've done great things for thee." But there is something more wonderful than that. Not just the nature of the thing, but the revelation in the hearts that the Lord is gracious and merciful to us. You know, I've said many times, and I've thought about it many more times, of course, that the strange things take place with the child of God while he lives in this world. Things which we can only say are revelations to us. Because when Peter said it art to Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath revealed to thee, for my Father which is in heaven." And so the Lord is so gracious and merciful. He's provided for us everything we've ever had in this world, as I've said. And surely we know that he has provided for us all the things we shall ever have or need, if we can express it that way, in that life which is to come. And so we have the evidences, as the Lord gave to Abraham. Gave him great promise. Great promises. He said here, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance of aid, and went out not knowing whither he went. There was faith given to Abraham to trust in that God. He went out, God made the promise. He went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned, we're told here, in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, and whose builder and maker is God. He was not looking for a natural city. He knew that the Lord had promised him great things. He had the promises that he made. But he went out. God gave him faith to believe in him. Then it goes a little bit further down. It says, and speaking not only of Abraham, but of Noah, and of Abraham, Noah, Enoch, Abel. He says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Which says to me that when God spoke to Abraham and these brethren back there in that day, he gave them promise, but they hadn't received the fulfillment of that promise. As the apostle said, God having reserved some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. But I'm fully persuaded, my brethren and friends, that God gives unto his people and has given it in every age of the world and will continue as long as this world stands. He gives them faith that they travel on, faith by which they know by that faith which God gives them, that they're in the hands of this gracious, mighty, all-powerful, sovereign God. And faith to believe that he has prepared a city for them. As it said, whose maker and builder is God. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Now aren't we seeking a country, my friends, brethren, that we confess and we know that this world is not our home. God gives us this as a temporary thing. He gives us this some way or the other, preparing us to desire even to leave these things in this natural world of our sickness, health, ill health, poverty, all the things that we have in this life. I am persuaded sometimes, my brethren, that God gives us grace in which he makes us desirous of leaving this world at God's time. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. You remember those they came across out of Egypt? God led them across the Red Sea, led them down in their journey to Sinai and on through the Promised Land. They became murmurers. They became terrible things, complaining against Moses and, of course, complaining against God. And some of them complained and said, we brought down here to die. We had onions and leeks and all of those things back in Egypt. Would that we were there. They desired to be back. But he said, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but now they desire a better country, that is a heaven. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now that's the word I'd like to leave these things for us this morning, my brethren, that God has prepared for us, that is, for his people, a city. It's heaven and immortal glory. We've never seen heaven and immortal glory. Only as God has given us grace and faith, in which we have been for a little while, removed from the scenes of this life, and the Spirit of God has spoken in our hearts and given us peace. So that in the midst of all of our trials, we know that all things are working together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. And so while we bitterly complain in our faith, in our praying sometimes, and yet in our darkest hours, and sometimes we wish we could not live any longer, he gives us faith. To see, as it were, by faith, a little bit of that joy and peace which he's prepared for those who love him. We receive just the earnest of it here. Yes, just a little foretaste of it here. Peace and joy. That he had loved us he gave his son to die for us. Giving us a little foretaste of heaven and immortal glory. But we shall not come into the fullness of these things, because the fullness of those things are reserved for the children of God in that upper and better kingdom that God has prepared for them to love. So, my brethren, do we fret? Do we worry? I do. I fret and worry. Sometimes can't be still, desiring to know more fully of these wonderful and glorious things. And yet, unless there is a revelation, unless there is a teaching, unless there is a sending down of the Spirit of God to calm a trembling frame. We just have to live, of course, best we can. Being blessed oftentimes to go to the throne of grace and beg of God to have mercy upon us. And if we're deceived in that hope that he's given us, to make it plain to us, but if we're not deceived, Lord, give us more, that we might have the assurance that that hope that thou hast implanted in our hearts is a good hope. You know, we often hear our brethren talking about we have a little hope. Well, it does appear little, but it's sufficient. As a matter of fact, my brethren, there's no such thing as a little hope. If we have hope, it is a hope of eternal life. As the apostle wrote to Titus, he says, in hope of eternal life, which God who cannot lie promised before the world began, is an assurance and a full hope. What we desire is more evidence of that hope. There's not a little hope and a big hope, but it's a hope of eternal life. And God knows how much we need when we need it. And he sends forth his Spirit and speaks in our hearts sometimes, doesn't he? Oh, brethren, may God give us grace in these troublesome times in the world. We, of all people in the world who know the power and the sovereignty of God and believe that he's still ruling and controlling all things, that we might approach the throne of grace calmly, giving him thanks for the multitude of the blessings that he's bestowed upon us. But we realize full well that if he's given us some hope, it is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Yes, redemption. What is that? The redemption of the purchased possession. But I tell you what I think and understand it is, my brethren, that we who have been brought out of darkness, or the children of God, I better put it that way, who have been brought out of darkness and into the marvelous light, the Son of God, have been given a hope of eternal life. They, the very ones that mourn, were given to mourn, to realize what a lost sinner they were. And yet God had, in his own good time, given them hope. I believe that you who have cried and mourned, and begged and prayed, every one of those children of God, that they are the very ones that he's talking about when he says the redemption of the purchased possession. It cannot be, possibly be, according to the scriptures, cannot be just some spirit that enters into heaven. No, because he testifies, the apostle testifies, that this mortal must put on immortality. And we believe that. Somehow or the other, there's no question. Sometimes I have no faith, I feel, but I have all I have, and that's it. I looked down in Florida many years ago now, and at the Indian Cemetery, and they had it excavated down to where the bodies were, preserved the bodies, and so on. And I had quite a few doubts about the matter. Are these things going to be brought forth in the resurrection? A year or so later, we were back again down there, and I went to see the same thing. I couldn't believe hardly. And somehow in that thing, my brethren, I was made to know that God has power to bring forth even these that have died. And their ashes scattered throughout the world, if it were necessary, as some of them are, no doubt. And yet God has the power to scatter the dust together of every one of those that he had given to, of whom the apostle said, the redemption of the purchased possession, the redemption of that person that God loved, gave natural life here in the world, and has reserved that one unto that spiritual life. When through the operation of the Spirit and the power of God in the resurrection, this mortal bodies, these mortal bodies of ours shall be changed and fashioned like unto the glorious body of Jesus. That's our only hope, isn't it? We know that as we live here in the world, we help us. When we get ill and sick, we go to the doctor. He does what he can. I believe God has given us the doctors. He's given us the medicines to preserve us in this world, as I don't believe that there's an accident about it at all. The medicines, the doctor, and the knowledge that God gives us. No, but that can't preserve life forever. They can't preserve life one moment beyond the time that God has ordained that each and every individual one of us shall leave this world. Oh, my brethren, this same God that gave us natural life, this same God that came and spoke peace and speaks peace in our hearts, changes us from being dead and trespasses and in sin to have a hope of eternal life. This same God is still ruling and reigning, and he's promised eternal life. And my brethren, eternal life is yours. Eternal life is to everyone for whom God sent his Son here in the world to die for them. Die for them that they might live. Die for them that they should be fully redeemed from all their sins and all their iniquities. Lord, we read, he was delivered for our offenses. He arose for our justification. That's what we're looking for, to be justified by the precious blood of Jesus, by the sacrifice of Jesus, to be justified so that there shall nothing ever come up against us again. God said, you know, in the New Covenant, in the winding up of that, he said, their sins and their iniquities, I will remember against them no more. Let that be with you. Someone selected him.
Turn to page 176, and same verse 2 and the last verses of Jesus' love of my soul.
While we're saying, we announce an open door for reception of numbers.
So to be one more that I feel stirred up in the love of these saints, in love of my beloved brethren, we would say to humble my parents and tell them how great things the Lord has been.
Thank you.
They were looking for forgiveness from this person's father.
And the hope of the time when the Darris brothers together, thankful for the relation that God has provided, our redemption, our salvation, through the sacrifice of that only Son. So, Lord, please continue to lead us as we travel through this world. Be with us. Give us grace sufficient for our need. Give us patience, Father, as we run this race. Enable us to look to thee. Enable us to give all praise, honor, love. And be the only true and living God all the days of our lives in this world. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. There's something said about we'd like to give to our housekeeper a little bit for kind of a Christmas present, we call it that. Those who please do so, and we'll make it.